B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
This all season needs to be focused on that shot. So he's not getting distracted by other games or anything.
Okay. Well, there we go. Yeah. Oh, see that? He's going to put in the work. Hey, Eric, let me ask him. Do you have FanFest tickets yet?
I don't yet.
Oh, yet. You know what you do? You do have them now. How about that? Pair of FanFest tickets to you, Aaron. Excuse me. 610-632-0975. See, that's how we work it.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, you guys would be proud of me for this because I know you guys, it's always, you guys do a great job. You're always like, hey, by the way, let's give away some FanFest tickets. I'm like, great idea. It's always just second to me, right? So I'm in a men's clothing distributor the other day. I think this was Thursday. Uh-huh. Yeah, Thursday, because Thursday night or Friday, needed tuxedo shoes.
Yeah, did you purchase or rent?
What'd you do? Did you run?
I bought them.
Oh, so you have some shiny tuxedo shoes.
I got some shiny, real shiny. And then the groom was in, like, casual sneakers, and I'm like, oh, damn. But they look good. My man was looking good. So anyway, I go into this clothing store, right, and I buy the shoes, right? And
I told you, though.
What?
That you should have gotten some sneakers.
You did.
You did say that.
That's right. You totally called that.
But no, you wanted the shiny tuxedo shoes.
Because
I want shiny tuxedo shoes. Nah, I want tuxedo shoes. Nobody wears that anymore. But go ahead.
I'm an old-fashioned man.
I know you are.
I enjoy Frank Sinatra music.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
So I go in, I buy the thing, and I check out. I go to check out. And the guy behind me in line goes, hey, man, you on the radio? And I turn around and I'm almost like, yeah. And he goes, Farzetta, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I heard your voice, man. I've never seen you, but I heard your voice and it's really freaking me out to see you talk. And I'm like, well, now it's weird for me too, because this is a weird exchange. I said that to the guy. Anyway, couldn't have been a nicer guy. And he's like, hey, man, I'm trying to go to FanFest again. And okay. I'm like, say no more.
Okay.
So we exchange, I give him my email.
Okay.
Right? Just to hook him up with some fan. And he pulls his phone out. And you couldn't help but look at the man's screen.
Uh-huh.
Now, tell me if this is weird.
I'm going to say yes, by the way. You're setting it up already.
He had Google imaged me.
Huh. Mm.
I guess before he just made the claim to attach the voice to the face.
Sure, he had to make sure.
Now, this has happened to me once before, where somebody has Google imaged me at a bar, mm-hmm. and said, hey, man, is this you? And I'm like, yeah? Oh, okay. How you doing? And I'm like, that's a weird intro, right?
Hmm.
So anyway, we're giving my man FanFest tickets.
Yeah.
But is that a little odd?
No, it happens to me all the time.
People Google image
very
you.
Used to it.
Really?
Yeah.
First couple of times they did it. Weird? Or was it like, oh, this is my life now?
I'm kind of used to it now. Welcome to my world.
Hey, man, is this you? But this guy didn't even go with that. He just went with the totally took credit for recognizing the voice and putting it to the face.
There you go.
I was a little creeped out by it.
That's all right, man.
We gave away FanFest tickets, like, in Jamie's words, like we were Oprah on Friday, Mark.
Oh, yeah, we gave them away. We had a lot. Here you go. You want some FanFest? You get tickets.
You got it.
All right.
I think it was pretty much every caller got FanFest tickets on
Friday. Really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Look at you guys. See,
yeah, we're
great.
Just throwing them out willy-nilly.
See, though, that makes you feel good.
Sure.
After a weekend, and by the way, listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. And going into a weekend where we weren't going to have a lot to feel good about, well, what was that?
I'm sorry. Say what?
Go ahead.
What, do you want to give away more fans?
No.
Reading what was off. Put on the screen.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So going into a weekend where there was just an unbelievable amount of things to feel bad about.
Yeah.
Because you had Andy McPhail come out and give the big vote of confidence to Gabe Kapler.
Uh-huh.
He's our guy. Gabe Kapler's
our guy.
Going forward with good old Gabe, right?
Yes.
And then you lose 2 or 3 to the Nationals.
Yeah.
First off, the funny thing is that you come out and you have this big vote of confidence for your manager, the player's got to play better, and you expect the players to be a little bit more inspired, right? Nope, didn't happen. He hit a brick wall on Steven Strasburg. Nick Pivetta didn't pitch well. It didn't exactly look good for the Phillies. Didn't look good for Gabe Kapler or anybody. Saturday, you had Cesar Hernandez, for some weird reason, try to take third base, like try to steal third. So, like, it wasn't heads-up baseball like you'd like to see. So you have this big vote of confidence for Gabe Kapler, your manager, and the Phillies go and honor their manager and play for him real hard by losing 2 of 3. Getting shut out, losing in dramatic fashion on Saturday night, and then winning returning in dramatic fashion yesterday to salvage a one game of this three-game series. So it didn't exactly look good. Then he also had Andy McPhail come out and not necessarily say that Odubel Herrera is done, but really did stack the cards against him by saying how deep the Phillies are in the outfield right now. By the way, we all know that they're really not that deep. But still, nonetheless, he kind of just put out everybody that was in front of Odubel Herrera right now on the Phillies roster. Read between the lines there.
Right.
But then you also had Andy McPhail come out and say the formula that he has for adding talent to this roster.
Okay.
This roster, now, at the end of Friday night, they were no longer in playoff contention. Well, they were no longer in the playoffs. After yesterday, they are. They're back. A half game in the second wild card spot. Still behind the Nationals. The Brewers lost. The Phillies won. They're now a half game up for the second wild card spot. What, 8.5 games back now in the division?
8.5.
All right, so there's still a lot of struggles in front of them. Mm-hmm. But Andy McPhail put out this plan that is, by the way, Andy McPhail doesn't talk during the season.
Okay.
I tried to get him at the Eagles, at the Phillies,
ALS?
ALS, yes. Right. Raise money, strike out ALS.
Right.
So I went to try to talk to him there about some baseball. Didn't want to talk about that. Would only talk about the foundation itself.
Okay.
But fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk during the season.
Uh-huh.
He talked on Friday.
Yeah, felt the need to come out this weekend.
Wanted to give that vote of confidence.
You had a good strain.
Yeah. Didn't really. It didn't really work out well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the formula he put out for acquiring talent was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel you're close, you acquire. If you don't, you stand pat or sell.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
What should the Phillies do at this point? I mean, you're 2 weeks away. Apparently, according to a report coming out of Canada, there's a report from the Canadian Baseball Network's Bob Elliott that says the Phillies were in Toronto last night, as well as several other teams, scouting right-handed pitcher Marcus Stroman. So, possibly, they're looking to add to their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a seller's mentality. I don't think he's going to cost you a lot, just like Jay Bruce cost you next to nothing. Just like you basically bought Logan Morrison. So, you look at this as an opportunity to add. They still feel as if they're a team that can get into the playoffs at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Phillies, quite frankly, you should, because right now, and at the time Andy McPhail spoke, you were in the playoffs. If you feel you're at least close to making a postseason, why not add? Yeah. If it's not going to cost you much, just like, by the way, Dallas Keuchel was only going to cost you money, in which you, by the way, have, then why not make the acquisition? Why not just get to the dance? Aren't we always saying that about the playoffs? It seems like every playoff, with the exception of the NBA, you get to the playoffs and see where you can go. In baseball, you might get the pitching at the right time, like you were able to do with Jamie Moyer and Brett Myers and those guys, because you certainly had the lineup. In hockey, you can always have the hot goaltender. In football, you could be the hot team that gets hot at the right time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The average team that gets hot at the right time. Baseball, you can get some pitchers here. Really, basketball is the only one where it's like you go into the playoffs and you kind of already know your fate. But right now with the Phillies, go ahead, add those arms. See what can happen. Why would you even put out a simple formula like that everybody already knows? Like, it was a wet blanket. I felt like Andy McPhail on Friday was a wet blanket. And I like the guy. I root for the guy. But, like, for him to come out and talk the way he did, I get trying to give the guys a vote of confidence. But it was a dud. It went off like a lead balloon, unfortunately.
It's almost like he doesn't know where they are. He says, if we're here, you do this. If we're there, we do that. Okay, well, that's basically saying, but we're neither place, or we're kind of in both places?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is he saying?
He was on the fence, basically.
Yeah, so they're gonna wait till the deadline to let it play out, mm-hmm. and so maybe they'll more definitively know, okay, yeah, we're still locked in that wild card spot, or no, we've fallen so far back, there's no sense in doing anything?
It's up to the players, Bob. It's up to the players. According to Andy McPhail, it's up to the players. Don't even invoke the always inspiring Doug Peterson when it comes to the Phillies now. Don't even invoke him. Man's out in Lake Tahoe playing golf and kicking ass, man. Won a second.
We got to get Trey in that tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan.
We're going out there to watch him.
Yeah, I want to play in that tournament next year.
I say the three of us are out there watching Trey play in that tournament next year.
I want to play in it next year.
Twist my arm.
Right?
Some Lake Tahoe.
Can we get check-ins from you in between holes?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can be our golf insider, much like Tobias Harris is the insider of Ben Simmons.
When you want, when the president of the team comes out and talks, you want him to inspire confidence.
Mm-hmm.
What he basically said was, Gabe Kapler's our guy. As far as trades go, we'll see. And read between the lines about Odubel Herrera, he's not playing for the Phillies. Like you wanted him to come out. The only definitive thing he said was Gabe Kapler's our guy. So you want to see the team go out there and play inspired baseball? Really didn't see that this weekend. Really didn't see that. Let's get Troy in Philly up here. He's got something on Ben Simmons. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
All right.
My call. Hey, listen, I'm inclined to agree with Aaron, previous caller. And, Troy, I totally disagree with you. Ben Simmons, mentally, from a mental standpoint, is nowhere near Markelle Fultz. Okay, so you can't even put him in that same category. I mean, just last year, he knew that his jump shot wasn't going to be there. So you're not going to go ahead and take a shot that you're not comfortable with or you know you're not good at. It's just not the percentage that you do. This year, he know he has to be better at it. It is the third year. LeBron James didn't have a shot until the third year. And he was doing games with LeBron where Kobe had to tell LeBron, hey, man, you got to take that shot. So it's not abnormal for somebody who don't have a shot to in the third year to go ahead and get into it, i.e., like I said, LeBron and Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be all right. I'm 100% sure that he's going to have a better a jump shot, and his percentage might be 48% because he's going to be, as well as his free throw is going to increase. I just believe that.
Yeah,
and you know what's at stake.
Well, when I was talking about the Markelle Fultz thing, it was more the anticipation of everybody was like, oh, with Markelle, he went to go train with this guy to work on his jumper, and everybody was so excited. Oh, we can't wait to see. And then it was a dud. So it wasn't the mentality of it. You know what I'm saying? It was just all the anticipation built around it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he's Ben Simmons and because he needs a jump shot, the anticipation is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, and I'm glad that he didn't do it as far as going and playing for FIBA. Because if he would have, and something would have happened, God forbid, something would have happened, he would have had injury. It's like somebody, well, he should have been staying at home playing, you know, practicing shot than going to play for FIBA. So I'd rather for him to not play for the Australia League and do what he needs to do in his career. And instead of him playing for FIBA and we watching him develop a jump shot.
All right.
It's just a smart move.
Hey, Troy, do you have FanFest tickets?
No, sir.
Well, guess what's about to happen, Troy? You got yourself some FanFest tickets right there. 610-632-0975. I have to tell you, the 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Mobile Platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about that mentality with Ben Simmons and whether or not you wanted to see him play in the FIBA World Championship for the Aussies, for the Boomers, right? We'll get into that. And then this little thing came out over the weekend regarding Doug Peterson. He's a betting man.
Yeah, of course he is.
Did you know he's a gambler?
Yeah.
Guy called Philly in the middle of the Super Bowl. He is a gambler.
I thought we were over this. I thought we've been over this before. Nick Foles called that play. Nick Foles said, let's do the thing where I
Nick
look
Foles
awesome.
Nick Foles suggested
Philly.
You know what he did do though? But he called Philly. He called Philly on the Thursday night opener against the Falcons. That was his play call because he wanted to get the juice back in the building.
Right.
The man's a gambler. Right? Well, he gambles on the golf course, and guess what? He won again, by golly. He won again. 610-632-0975. Talk about that. We got wide open lines for you. If you want to jump in, now's a great time for you. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 7:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Our buddy Aaron, who was just on the line with us, I believe I said holla to him when he referenced his, I think he said Questlove shirt.
Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, Miss Goosey. He goes, thanks for the FanFest tickets, but let's not say holla anymore.
Yeah, that should go on your list.
Unless it's right the Chappelle show, let me holla at you. Let me holla at you.
That needs to be... can we put that on part of the bump back music?
Yeah.
Just us saying holla? I told him I wouldn't say it, and there we go. Either way, you're welcome for the tickets, man. Thanks for calling in. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for Window Shop, windownation.com. Sam Wilson, what do you have?
This morning we asked per Sixers insider Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons has, quote, made big improvements in his game. How confident are you, the Twitter followers, that Ben Simmons will have a mid-range game next season?
Okay, so we said very confident, yes, or not confident. Please tell me that the people are extremely confident.
It's pulled away. 68% say not confident.
68%.
Not confident.
Not confident. Mm. That's disappointing for two reasons.
Yeah, I know.
610-632-0975. So I mentioned that Doug Peterson is a gambler. Knows when to hold him, knows when to fold him, as they say.
That's right.
Last year, he was able to beat Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, in a little round of golf. And they put a little wager on it. Trey, you remember what the wager was?
Was it jerseys?
It was who gets to wear their home jersey when the Eagles went to visit the Saints. And okay, the Eagle, of course, Doug Peterson won that bet. He beat Sean Payton in golf. And the Eagles won their home jersey when they played in New Orleans.
And they got their ass kicked.
And they got their ass
kicked. Is that like a cool thing for the players?
Derp. Don't know.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was going to say, like that. I don't think any of them care.
I guess that's why they could bet on it.
Yeah.
So, nobody cares about that because, I mean, you know, the only time you work, even if you're playing outside in the summertime, you just don't want to have on a darker jersey, but that really doesn't matter. You're going to sweat anyway. That's what it is. If anything, you know, it would be cool to bet on if you win the coin toss. Who gets the ball?
Oh, really affect the game.
Yeah, really affect the game.
Then I think the players would be pissed off.
Yeah. What you mean you lost? Like,
don't get me wrong. I think that's great. But if I'm actually participating in the game, I'd have a little bit of an issue with it. But this time around, it was a much more noble cause. And this time around, he had a bet with another coach, a former assistant of his, Mr. Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So they take to the golf course.
Traitor.
Lake Tahoe. Yeah, right, yeah. They take to the golf course out of Lake Tahoe. The mistake by the Malake, and they go out there and they have themselves a good old time. And sure enough, they put another wager on it, this time to donate to each other's charities.
Okay.
And the one that Doug Peterson chose for a donation was the Eagles Autism Challenge. And Frank Reich lost to Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson wins. Frank Reich makes the donation to the Eagles Autism Challenge. So that's nice. So there's a much more noble cause this time around.
Beautiful.
But the point is, just like last year, Doug Peterson, undefeated going into the season.
Mm.
Not too bad. Let's get to Mike in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to talk about the Phillies pitching staff for a little bit. You think Aaron Nola holds any animosity towards Hector Neris?
Oh,
for Nola goes down and throws some throwing gems. He looks like our ace again. And then, you know, tight pants gives us a decent showing yesterday, and Hector Neris is just wiped out in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I don't think there's any animosity there. I think these guys are professionals and, you know, they understand things like this happen. But he's definitely upset. He's definitely not happy. I mean, he goes out there and pitches his ass off, and then, you know, his closer comes in and can't take care of business to close things out for him. I don't think it happens like that. I think that's a dramatic thing that some people drum up in their mind, but I don't think there's any animosity.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, at the end of the day, they're all a team. But yesterday, I was in there. I was actually at the game yesterday. It was a great game to be at. It was actually my daughter's first game. So it was exciting for them. I have three kids. It was exciting for them to see a walk-off home run. That was the first time the older two have seen it.
That's awesome. Mike, how old is your daughter?
Well, my youngest is, she's a year and a half.
Okay.
We took her because I watch almost every game. I drive my wife crazy. Between Sixers and Phillies and Flyers and Eagles, I watch pretty much every game. And my daughter, she'll sit there and she'll watch the entire baseball game. And that's a lot for a little kid, but she was just engrossed in it. And then to see it live yesterday, even though she's so young, it was great.
That's awesome, man. Good for you, Mike. Do you have Fan Fest tickets yet?
No, I do not.
Well, let's change that for you. You're going to go to FanFest there, Mike. Appreciate it, man. 610-632-0975. What's your ruling? Now, Jamie, I can't ask you because you just took your baby. She just took Skylar.
Of first age.
To her first game. So there
she
you go.
She was like 8 weeks. She was like 2 months old.
What's the ruling here? How old should a kid be to go to their first game? Should it be a memory? Or should it just be, oh, we're taking the baby?
It should be a memory for the child, for the adult. Like, I took a lot of joy from bringing the baby.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
But, like,
and
that's
the feelings
not,
were great?
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's not her first game. Like, I want her first game to be the game she remembers.
I like that. That's a good differentiation. I mean?
Yeah, that's what I
so
want.
So what age would
kids.
You give that?
That's like, I don't know. Maybe five, five, like three, four six. Or five, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, three, I don't remember anything from, hell, I don't remember anything from last year.
Yeah, four, five, I guess, is when your first memories start to stick.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
I was six when I went to my first game. I still remember it vividly.
Yeah, I want to say I was about six
Did
or
you
seven.
Did you catch a train by yourself to it?
I walked from South Jersey to Veterans Stadium.
He drove the family station
wagon.
We
took a cab to the speed line into the city, and then the subway down to the... It was an adventure.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome. But, like, that first time you walk into a stadium and, like, you see it, like, that's something that should stay with you forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I told you this before. My grandfather worked for the Orioles, right? So my mom's from Dallas, right? So the first game I ever went to was at Memorial Stadium.
I've been there. I was there plenty of times.
Right. And then I went to Camden Yards, I guess, that opened when I was like 10. And then we moved back to this area. Well, we lived down there for like a year.
Right.
We moved back to this area, and my dad took me to the vet. I went from Camden Yards to the vet. Okay, like, we all know the vet wasn't some magical place.
No, it was a toilet.
It was.
But no,
I love the vet.
To a kid. Like, a kid has no nostalgia. Like, you go to the vet. So my dad takes me from Camden Yards to the vet, and I was like, is there other ballpark, like, being worked on? Like, why are we here? Like, that kind of thing. And then, of course, as I got older, I grew to love the play. And the Phillies got blown out. They lost, like, 11-2, I think, the Cardinals. And it was awful. It was just dreadful. And then, of course, you know, you grow up there. You start growing up at the vet, and you're like, this is my place. And I shed a tear when they demolished it, of course, when they blew it up. But, like, that was a very different experience. Like, is that a rug they're playing on? Like, that's how this works?
Where's the smell of the grass?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Let's get to Kurt in Allentown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kurt?
Hi. Thanks for having my call.
Sure, man.
What I wanted to talk to you about is I saw the press conference, and I know it's off topic, but the Sixers, I'm just not sure these...
No, we've been talking about the Sixers, man. What do you got?
The background is like Raul Neto and these guys. Where are they coming from? I mean, people seem positive about these signings, but I don't know squat about them.
Well, you know,
Neto played a little bit with Utah last year.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to know about him, Kurt, so don't feel bad about it.
I know this. He has, I think, three passports. So there you go.
What's that, Argentina?
I believe it's Brazil, United States, and Italy.
Okay. So he can play anywhere he wants. I'm just wondering if he's going to help us.
No, in all seriousness, he's a better... Look, it's not saying a lot, but he's a better version of TJ McConnell, I feel. I think he could be a better offensive player. I think he'll be a decent backup point guard for you. He'll give you some good minutes when you want to spell Ben Simmons. But look, he's going to be barely a role player on the team. What you need to be concerned about is the play of Al Horford, because he's a great acquisition, re-upping with Tobias Harris, and solidifying really what's going to be your starting five on this team. And Josh Richardson is going to be a very good player for this team. He'll star defensively, and he'll give you a lot offensively. But the main part of his game is going to be on the defensive end of things. Neto isn't, like, he's a nice addition. It's not a cornerstone type of thing.
Oh, I just wanted the bench to be better is what I'm looking for.
You're going
to
have a better bench going into the season. Mike Scott coming off the bench from the start of the season to the end of the season is going to help you out tremendously. Neto is a good acquisition. And I do believe Zaire Smith and Matisse Thybulle are going to be some good guys coming in off the bench. So I do believe going into the season, your bench is going to be better.
Thybulle looked good in the summer leagues. Zaire met the Mets.
Yes, yes, that's good uses of meds and meds. Yeah, Zaire did leave some stuff to be desired, but he's still developing, still coming back from his health scare last year. But Thybulle looks like a guy that, at least on the defensive end of things, is ready to make an impact on this team.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right, Kurt, do you want to go to FanFest?
I would love to go to FanFest.
Well, guess where you're going? You're going to FanFest. Bob, would you say those are fair assessments?
Yeah, same. Thybulle, I think, can fit on an NBA court. And I don't think he'll seem too out of place. I think he'll be okay. Zaire Smith, I'm just not... I'm kind of like Kurt. I'm not there yet. And part of it is because his game is a physical one. He's a 6'4 kind of power guy. His power got sapped from him last year with the sickness.
Yeah.
And to get your power game back isn't just getting healthy. He's got to get all of that back. And he's only 6'4", so he didn't only need the power that he had coming out of college as a small guy who plays a bigger game. He needed to get bigger and stronger still. He's only recouping what he had, not building on it. You know what I mean? So I still think he's still a little bit away from helping out this team.
There was something that we rarely ever see with the Sixers, especially with your sharpshooter being J.J. Redick. There was like a catch and shoot wasn't a thing. Like, it's a lost art with the Sixers. Catch and shoot. No, if you're going to have your sharpshooter like J.J. Redick over the last 2 years, get open. He was, as he always said, running figure eights to try to get open and running off screens, dribble high handoffs, all that stuff. Matisse Thybulle, and granted it's summer league, caught the ball in the corner and it was out of his hand in like 7/10 of a second.
Yeah.
It was catch and release, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's allowed. Like, it's this weird thing that's almost a mental block for me because I haven't really had a chance to think about it with the Sixers. I've watched other teams do it. I mean, no better example than Klay Thompson with Golden State is probably the best in the league at doing it. But to just at least see that as something that he can go to, maybe not on a consistent basis, but something that he can at least go to from time to time, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's good to see that in your game.
I think you're going to see a little bit of that from Tobias Harris also this year,
mm-hmm.
where he's going to be coming off and he's going to be catching and shooting. I think he's really good at creating off the dribble also, especially on pick and rolls. But I it's funny that you said that because I'd been thinking the same thing. Wow. I didn't see that a lot last year. Mm-hmm. I think it'll open up more for Tobias because with Jimmy Butler moving on.
And it's just a shame, Trey, that people aren't that confident in terms of Ben Simmons having that capability.
Yeah.
Especially shooting off the dribble, unfortunately. As Tobias Harris said, he's been working on those big improvements.
He's working on it, man. You know, I hope so.
No, but here's the thing. Not working on has made big improvements to this game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, well, we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we all would have liked to have seen him play for Australia because we want to see him shoot that. We want it. It's as much mental as it is physical. We want to see him shoot that jump shot in the game. What this tells me, although Team Clutch might have told all their guys they don't want him playing because Anthony Davis pulled out also.
Mm-hmm.
But what this tells me is, I think form is more important right now to them than him actually just shooting it.
Well, FIBA's at, what, the end of August?
Yeah.
I think like one of the last days of August
right.
It starts.
Yeah, it runs right into training camp pretty much.
So you got a month like to work on, what, 2 months, 3 months to work on things? Because Ben Simmons said a while back after he took the picture with the adorable little piglets, right? And then he's in the gym working on a shot. Like,
that's no way to refer to the Kardashian family.
No, stop. Okay, hold on a second.
That was good,
no,
Jay.
No.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Don't you Kardashian shame. Is that a thing yet? No? But he takes some pictures with the piglets, the actual piglets on the beach in Aruba or wherever the heck he was, right? And he takes the picture, and then he's like, all right, enough of the pigs. I'm going to the gym, right? And then he goes to the gym, and he's like, pictures of him doing push-ups.
Yeah, he was in push-up position.
Taking pictures of him on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Sweat glistening.
Oh, yeah, shirtless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
guys are dripping with sweat.
Presenting beautifully.
Exactly. And then we get the report from Sixers insider Tobias Harris. He's making the big improvements. Like, he has 3 months to do this. Don't you want to see him apply it a little bit? Like, I never thought I'd be this upset about the Australian roster for the FIBA World Basketball Championship, but I wanted to see Ben Simmons apply some of what he has done, because guess what's going to happen? Well, all we're going to see is the workouts, the photos on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
the B-roll that, like, NBC Sports Philadelphia will have of him shooting jump shots in the gym. We're not going to have any game footage. I think most people want to see him participate in that, if not just to see him, to see whether or not he has taken some steps forward, but also to get some more practice in game situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because basketball, I mean, right, you can probably, and Trey, you played over in Moscow, so you could back this up as well. You get better in basketball with the practice, and then you apply it to the game.
Yeah.
You don't just keep playing pickup games or whatever and get better. No, you practice the rhythm, you practice the form, and you use it in the game.
Yeah, in any sport, you need that live fire. I mean, you know, things are totally different once you get in the game time. I mean, when you sit up there and you practice, you're in an empty gym. It's just you and two other guys, I guess the coach and whoever the rebounder is. You know, you need to have that competition where you have the fans in the stands and all of that that's just surrounded, the energy that goes into a game. You still need that. That's why I think that you know, with this whole thing where they're talking about with the extending of games in the season for football, and everybody was like, just cut out preseason. No, you kind of need preseason. You don't want to go just from practice to a game. So that's why those preseason games are kind of helpful to kind of help get that jitters and all of that out of you so that once the season starts, you're ready to rock.
All right. So, Bob, did you want to see him play with the Boomers?
I did. And when I heard he wasn't, my first thought was, like I was saying, they want to practice that. They want to get that form down more importantly than they want him just, you know, shooting. It's almost like can't let him go yet because he doesn't have it to the point where we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I see that Anthony Davis has been pulled, I don't know if Team Clutch just had a meeting with their players and said, look, it's probably not good for you guys to go and play in FIBA. We'd rather you just work. Because they said the same thing about Anthony Davis. He wants to concentrate solely on the Lakers. You know, so but I agree with you. And Trey will tell you this. Sports are so habitual. You got to get into the habits of doing what you do. Whether it's good habits or bad habits, they are what they're. Like I told this story before, Lou Williams got into a habit when he was with the Sixers. He would pump fake every time he caught the ball. Every time, whether there's someone around him or not, he was pump faking. And I asked him about it. He said, I know I'm trying to break it. Like, I'm in the gym every day trying to stop doing it. It was just a habit that he had. Ben Simmons needs to get in the habit of when he's playing 5-on-5, of catching a ball on the move, stopping and rising up. He's got to get that. Right now, he doesn't do it. As soon as he catches, the ball goes on the floor, or he passes it away. He doesn't catch, take a dribble, stop, and pop. He doesn't do it yet because he doesn't have that habit of doing it. He's got to create that habit, and it would happen if he was in FIBA doing it over and over again.
Yeah, I look at it as more practice for him.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I know people always want to invoke the injury thing. Oh, what if he gets hurt doing it? I think one of our early callers
does. That's with anything.
That is.
Yeah. He could do that. Yeah. He could have done that playing against Tobias Harris 1-on-1. Who was making the big improvements to his game.
Right.
Yeah. And also, too, I guess the thing that you want to shield, also, if you're saying that, okay, let's work on the form, then because it takes, what's the saying? They say it takes, 21 days to break a habit?
You know, oh, really? I've never heard that saying. Okay.
But you had to do something consistently for 21 days for it to be broken, for it to become natural. So if you put him in a situation, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. Yeah, can we get the gong again? Yeah. I think we need the gong again.
I have to look this up to confirm it.
Says, yeah, according to some books, it takes a minimum of 21 days for an old mental image to dissolve itself and to form a new one in your mind.
So there you go.
Hit that gong one more time.
That is according to the European Journal of Social Psychology.
See, I
66 days can form a new habit. 21 days is, I guess, tricking your brain into dropping it and forming a new one.
So the reset button officially gets hit after 21 days.
So you want to make sure that because if you don't give him that time to work this new habit, then he'll go back to what's comfortable, and what's comfortable is what we've already seen.
Right.
For us, because it would be in Australia, is it only 20 days?
That's a good point.
I'm just curious, right? Mm. Are they a day ahead or a day behind?
Ahead? They're 16 hours ahead, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's only 20 days.
Well, the 20 days is what's starting now. He's been working on before, getting that shot form. Making sure that elbow is in tight.
Maybe the 3 weeks of the FIBA tournament is just mental visualization of his jumper.
Yes.
He's meditating somewhere.
Yeah.
Mental visualization of Himalayan
salt. Yeah, that was a mouthful. Something.
We're still overdue. My cousin's still
hours
killing.
Of the salt.
My cousin's still killing me. We haven't gone to the Himalayan salt cave yet. She owns two of them. Yeah. We need to go to that salt cave.
So, like, what goes on in one of these? I mean, is this like a
I'm pretty sure you go in and, like,
eat peyote or something.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Doug Peterson, Mike Groh are in there with Gabe Kapler and Andy McPhail and Matt Klintak.
Everything we do matters.
You know, you got Gabe in there. You know, Einstein once said, the difference between stupidity and genius is that genius has its limits. Albert Einstein.
Thank you. Do you think he stares at the poster on his wall?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's like, this dude said that, man.
Albert talks to me.
It doesn't sound as masculine as per usual. 610-632-0975. You know, it does sound masculine and awesome. Philly Burger Brawl. That's what sounds awesome. That's back, baby. Sunday, September 15th. That's the new date for it. Philly Burger Brawl is back Sunday, September 15th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. So make sure you check that out. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from top competing restaurants in the city. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information and to purchase tickets to Philly Burger Brawl, go to phillyburgerbrawl.com. Coming up, we're going to get into some of the comments made by by Andy McPhail over the weekend and Jake Arrieta, because the Phillies ain't helping themselves none. We're going to get in that, and also right after this the break here, the 18-game schedule that you referenced earlier, Trey, for the NFL, we're going to jump into that in a second. Time of the Fanatic is 7:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Imagine a world where there's a designated hitter in the National League and there's an 18-game NFL schedule.
Are you telling me Rhys Hoskins never has to play the field again?
Cool.
I'm in.
And you get more football.
That one's a little weird.
That is a little weird, right? But I do believe we're headed to both those things. One for more reason than the other. One, I just feel like eventually we're going to come around and that designated hitter is going to be in both leagues.
Let's stop wasting a spot with the pitcher's batting. It's terrible.
I'm done.
Yeah, it is awful.
It's really adorable, like those two times a year where a pitcher like does well.
Arrieta, Mr. Tight Pants, got a little double yesterday.
Yes, he did.
With a head-first slide.
First hit for the Phillies, got the bats going.
Didn't who just hit a home run a couple weeks ago for a side pitcher?
Was it?
Yeah, he hit a homer.
Oh, no. Vince Velasquez.
Yeah, Vince Velasquez.
That's right. Yeah.
That was in it was in Miami. I think he hit the.
Yes, he did. Put him up 2-0, and then he wound up giving up.
Helping his own cause.
But he hit a home run.
You know what never gets said in baseball when a pitcher gives up? Hurting his own cause. Because helping his own cause is like my favorite thing in sports.
Why aren't pitchers better hitters?
Do they just neglect it?
But you should.
I know.
You could have a direct effect on your own win.
You should
it's
be
dumb.
Able to. You
it should be
able to
something
tell,
they
like,
practice.
You want to talk about mental block? You want to compare people to maybe Markel Fultz? Maybe look at those pitchers a little bit more, Trey.
I'm just saying, you would think that pitchers would be better batters.
And they're not.
No.
They're pretty terrible. Huh. Now, regardless of that, that's a conversation we'll get
into. They look like us if we stepped into a major league box. They should be better than that.
Yeah, I am surprised.
They should at least be able to bat like Knapp.
I will say this. Well, some are batting better than Knapp. Actually, you know what? How many pitchers in baseball are batting better than Andrew Knapp?
Probably a good handful.
Let's look at that. Because
I'll try and dig that up.
I got a stat on Rhys Hoskins as a four-hole hitter that is going to... It's mind-numbing. It's very offensive, actually, about this statistic on on Rhys Hoskins. And I'll give that to you in a second, but I believe that Major League Baseball will have a designated hitter in both leagues in the not-too-distant future here, within the next couple of years. But in football, they're talking about another long-standing conversation, and that is an NFL 18-game regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, obviously this affects you and your people, your former NFLers and current NFLers, more so than anybody. 18-game schedule, I believe it is going to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not right now. Maybe it's not going to get approved now, but they've already proposed a deal where it's weird, and I don't understand this. It's an 18-game schedule that players only have to play 16 games? Like what?
Yeah, I don't like that.
How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. But I don't like that. They were saying that, okay, 18-game schedule, and you only can play 16, your starters or whoever, with a max 16-game start.
So you have to allot who starts when.
Yeah, I mean...
Divisional games, you would obviously have your number ones in.
Uh-huh.
So that's at least... I don't know.
See, this is... I don't like it. I'm not supporting it. Uh-huh. But if I was supporting it, I would say... Well, no, you would maybe save Carson Wentz versus a Redskins this year because you should be able to beat them without him.
Right, but the divisional games are obviously the bigger.
You got two dumpster fires in the division, so maybe those are games I would sit Carson Wentz.
Okay,
but what are you going to do with your offensive line?
That's like, a good question. Andre Dillard, come on down.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's real weird.
You also get 10 offensive linemen to play at one time. They can all be out there. It's going to be like a rugby scrum instead. But no, that's the deal. So you'd have 18 game schedule.
Yeah.
The players can only play in 16, which is way outside the box thinking, I guess. It's a wild, wild concept. And what would happen to the preseason? Would it just be two games?
I think it would just be the two under this rule.
Okay.
I'm good with the two preseason games. I am good with the two preseason games, but I think you should just give them another bye week, and then there you go, have at it. Increase your roster by what the number is, everybody's saying, what, 75?
Wow. That much?
I think that to have your roster up to about 75 players, I believe. Yeah. I think that's what people were saying. Uh-huh. And then just adding an extra bye week to it, and then let's just go have at it. I mean, but to sit up here and play games and say, all right, you know what? You're going to start 16 games, and then you're going to start two. I don't really agree with that one.
No, yeah,
that part
not
of it,
even
I'm
a little
not
bit
cool with. Because, I mean, there's so much that could happen in that time. What if this is during a time that you have to take out some of your offensive linemen, but it's one of the games that Carson's starting in, and then here you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boom. Yeah, you're trying to save injury, but actually you're putting him in more jeopardy by playing with backups. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I think there's still a lot of negotiating to be done. Yeah. Obviously, those are all great points. But I do think this gets done eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I had read it might be a bargaining chip but move by the NFL to say, yeah, we're proposing this, and then, you know, we'll compromise with you and remove it. Like, to make the NFLPA feel like they got something in the deal.
I think it's more than that.
It is because of the money involved.
Exactly.
With it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, we have an opportunity to make more money?
Two more games at the gate?
Yeah. Exactly. That, but also, if you're the Players Association, you're creating more jobs for these guys?
More pay.
Exactly. More jobs, more pay. That would mean hopefully more revenue would be split going to the players. Cross your fingers for that one. Mm-hmm. But if you're the players, this could also be a good thing for you.
Yeah.
How does this affect guys that are already on the contract?
See, I don't know how that affects the current contracts.
Yeah.
Grandfathered in, whatever it might be, if they're actually going to be changing. Like, do those guys then get more money on their deals? Like
a percentage?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz right now is the most guaranteed money in football. Mm-hmm. $107.9 million, whatever it is. He has $107.9 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Does that then go up a percentage with the amount of games that he plays in?
I don't know. That's the question. That's I would like to hear how they're going to play that out. You know, because now a regular football season, which you get 17 checks.
Okay.
So throughout the season, you get 17 checks. So now if you add those two more bye weeks into it, so now you're looking at probably 19 to 20 checks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, yeah.
Yeah, so are you stretching out what that current contract is, or is there going to be some type of percentage increase to get you there?
There should be the increase.
Mm-hmm. You should get two more checks at the exact same price you're getting the other 17.
Yeah, if the NFL...
That's what I'm proposing.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.